Creating your own reality. Is it possible for me? I am Jennifer K. Hill, the Consciousness Architect, and I am here to tell you that it's not only possible, it's closer than you might think. Welcome to the show. Hello, friends, and welcome back for another episode of Regarding Consciousness. I am Jennifer K. Hill. It is my honor, my privilege, my delight to get to bring you some of the greatest thought leaders, authors, scientists, and evolutionary leaders from around the world as we explore all things consciousness. Today, we have an extraordinary thought leader I had the privilege and the honor of meeting last year at a friend's summit, and we're going to be talking about health and wellness and how this all ties into our consciousness. Dr. Fab Mancini is a renowned health and lifestyle expert with over 30 years of experience as a holistic health provider, as well as an author and speaker. He has inspired audiences worldwide through his media appearances, including on shows such as Dr. Phil, The Doctors, CNN News, Fox News, and Univision, as well as Televisa and Telemundo. His engaging lectures have transformed audiences in most states and in over 25 countries. Dr. Fab is an internationally bestselling author of books such as The Power of Self-Healing and Chicken Soup for the Chiropractic Soul. He is the host of his own radio show with Hay House, Self-Healing with Dr. Fab, and his podcast, The Dr. Fab Life, as well as his TV series, Thriving in the New Normal. Dr. Fab, I'm so grateful to our friend Morella Sula from Global Women. Shout out to Morella for connecting us last year at her conference. It's such a pleasure to reconnect with you here today.
Thank you, Jennifer. I've been looking forward to this. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's so beautiful how our paths aligned and intertwined. So tell us a little bit about your consciousness and well-being journey. I remember I got to hear you give a keynote at Morella's place, but it's such an inspiring journey of how you came to do what you do. Will you share a little bit about that?
It's interesting because when I was 16, I had an experience where I came close to dying doing a robbery while we were visiting in South America. And I remember that night sitting in the hospital, realizing that I was alive. And I think that anyone that comes close to dying recognizes and taps into that consciousness like never before. And after that experience, 2 weeks after, I had a dream, a vivid dream, that I was going to be a doctor and I was going to be serving millions of people. And it just came to me. So I remember that I went back to my counselor in high school and I was an athlete. So I said, what's it going to take for me to become a doctor? And she said, you need to really do better in your grades. I had A's, but not top grades. And so I just started disciplining myself and graduated with 100.7 average. I even surpassed the 100 average, because I wanted to get to the best schools that I could, which I did. But through in that journey, and when you tap into that consciousness, which is what I call, in our world, we call that innate intelligence. It's the inner wisdom of the body that is directly connected with universal intelligence. So universal intelligence, whether you want to call that God or the universe or the supreme, whatever, that intelligence lives within ourselves as innate intelligence, and that wisdom is connected, but there is so many people that are disconnected and they feel that there is no connection with something bigger than themselves. So therefore, they don't have hope, they don't have faith, they don't have an understanding that they may be, that everything is conspiring for your benefit. So as I went through that process, I was then in a car accident that led me to a doctor of chiropractic, and introduced me to the world of natural health, to the world of prevention, to the world of understanding the root cause of the problem, not merely managing the symptom. And after 6 months of interviewing doctors and being in this space, I decided not to go to medical school. I chose to become a doctor of chiropractic. And then while I was becoming a doctor of chiropractic, I studied acupuncture and nutrition and energy medicine, and I became obsessed with this world of naturalism, the world that really understands and aligns our health with the way nature functions, rather than replace the wisdom of nature, which is what I believe, unfortunately, pharmaceuticals do. Why not align with nature and then support our bodies to align with nature so the body can actually heal itself? Because the only thing that heals is our bodies, And we have that capability of healing, except most people are not aware of that or know how to tap into it. And that's been my life's work for the last 37 years.
Okay. Inquiring minds want to know, Dr. Pfaff, how do we tap into that natural talent of healing our bodies? So many people out there might be listening and they might be going through physical pain, emotional pain. What do we do? What are the secrets to healing?
One of the things that I did for my last book, The Power of Self-Healing, and I think the reason that it resonated with so many people around the world is because I interviewed about 50 people that were told they would never heal. And I asked them the questions, what did you think healed you? One of my favorite questions to ask a new patient, is there anything that you felt is the cause of your problem, your health condition, that you haven't shared with any of your doctors, any of your providers, or even maybe your partner, your husband, your wife, your children? Because what I find is that innately, most people know what the root cause of our problem is. I remember one time I asked a lady that came in for back pain. And when I asked her the question, she said, my son-in-law. And I was shocked. I'm like, how is your son-in-law related? And it was an experience that her daughter got pregnant at 15 with this young man. And then they got forced to get married. He became an alcoholic. Then the daughter was miserable living with him. They got married. Then unfortunately, the daughter passes away in a freak accident. And he blames him for all her misery. In reality, he was actually providing for her because her husband had passed away. And he was providing for her and allowing her to live in his house with her grandchildren, with her grandchild. Just 2 days ago, I had another lady that has been going 3 years. She's the granddaughter of a very famous person. She's been to the best doctors in the world. And I said, is there anything you think? And she said, it's in my mid back, even though all of the scientists, all the experts went to her neck and diagnosed her and these surgeries and all of this. And I said, okay, let's see what we can do. And I started taking care of her mid back. And all of a sudden, for the first time in 3 years, she has no pain. And so there is an innate ability. So in that book, I started realizing that there were three dimensions to healing: physical, emotional, and spiritual. So anytime that you have a physical problem, you have to ask yourself, is my root cause of the problem, the reason that I'm sick today, physical? Could it be emotional? Could it be an emotional stress going on, a breakup, a death in the family, a financial disruption, something that emotionally just was too overwhelming for you that could have caused that health problem? And we've seen that many times in neurological conditions, where the cause is not physical, it actually was an emotional trauma going on in that life. Or could it be spiritual? And I remember when I wanted to write about the spiritual space, many of my friends were saying, be careful, don't go so much into the spiritual because you're going to be pegged as a spiritual doctor instead of all your scientific background. But I did it because I'm a very spiritual person myself. I remember my dear friend Wayne Dyer, 30 years ago, Wayne and I became best friends. He was my patient for many years. And Wayne taught me one of the greatest lessons that I know it wasn't his, but he shared it with me for the first time. And he said, Pfaff, you will always find joy and peace and happiness as long as you recognize that we are not physical beings living a spiritual experience, but we're actually spiritual beings living a human experience. That premise 30 years ago shaped my whole life because I began to see people as spiritual beings first, then emotional beings, then physical beings. So the secret to my healing process has always been that I'm treating the spirit in you. I'm not treating the physical body first. And through the spirit, I get through the emotional and then through the emotional, which now today the emotional, a lot of people are referring it to our mindset, to our feelings, right? That's a very special dimension of our healing that most of us have been dismissed. How many times have doctors said to us, it's all in your head? You know what? It could be all in my head. So let's work on it. Let's find out why it's in my head. Instead of dismissing it or trying to medicate you to the point that you don't even recognize yourself anymore. As long as we understand that dimension, the way you tap into consciousness is to be aware that there's a lot more to this condition, to this pain, to these symptoms that you've been taught. And as you become more aware, Now you become more sensitive to the physical things happening in your life that could be contributing to that disease, to the emotional component, your feelings, your mindset. Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you depressed? Are you anxious? What is going on in your life that could be contributing your stress levels to that illness? And then, of course, the spiritual. How well connected do I feel with something bigger than myself? How well connected do I feel with Mother Earth? How well connected do I feel with others around me, understanding that we're all reflections of each other? That's really where the magic of healing happens.
I love this, Dr. Fab. I remember a few years back, I was introduced to Louise Hay's work from, of course, the creator of Hay House, who I know you work very closely with. And she had a book called You Can Heal Your Life, Signs and Symptoms. And there's a webpage I found where it had a list of every single symptom you could potentially have, from headaches to carpal tunnel to cancer, whatever it might be. And there was a negative limiting belief that correlated to each one of those symptoms. And I remember this clear as day. About 4 or 5 months ago, I was fundraising for my company and I was going out and I was feeling a little bit like, because like women just don't get fundraised as easily. And it was this whole story, right? And so one day I go to pick up my teacup. It's late afternoon. I go to pick up my teacup. And Dr. Fab, I had such excruciating pain shooting down my arm, carpal tunnel. I'm 42 years old at the time. Cannot lift my teacup. It's so painful. To your point, I was like, I wonder what's causing this. I wonder what psycho-spiritually emotionally happened. So I go to Louise Hay's, this website that has the list of all the symptoms. And no kidding, it said under carpal tunnel, anger at life's injustices. And I was like, whoa, you cannot make this up. So immediately, Dr. Fab, I used some different techniques that I've learned from brilliant doctors and thought leaders on removing negative limiting beliefs. 5 to 10 minutes later, I literally was buying a new laptop, buying a new desk, all the things to accommodate carpal tunnel, right? And I go through and I'm trying to buy all this, but then I put myself in a position and start to work on healing myself. 5 to 10 minutes later, I went from a level 8, 9 level of pain to a level 2 pain and have not had pain in there since. And I remember sharing the story with somebody in the last several months, and they said, Jennifer, if that is true, you love the if part, right? If it is true, that would make sense. Because if you think of when carpal tunnel first came on the scene of when it started causing people pain, most often it was women, and it started in the 60s and 70s. And you could see that it could be tied in theoretically to life's injustices. So I find that fascinating that we are not, to your point, these physical beings of, oh gosh, I'm having pain in my arm. We are these psycho-spiritual, emotional, spiritual beings who happen to be in physical bodies that are reflecting to us as a litmus test. Immediately, it's reflecting to us in the world what's happening for us on the internal level, right?
And what's beautiful today is because of new science, technology has revolutionized healthcare from the perspective that initially we began to recognize through quantum physics that there was a much bigger dimension or paradigm that we were not leveraging in order to be healthy. And then lately, we have now electron microscopes that we can actually look into our brains and begin to see our synapses in our neurons. And so therefore, the theory of neuroplasticity came about. Mm-hmm. And neuroplasticity simply says that your brain is always adapting to your environment. But for years, we were taught in school that the brain and the nervous system does not change. That once you have an injury or a disease, they call it some kind of pathy, a disease of the nervous system or the brain, there is no reversal. And that's absolutely false, because now we have seen a lot of reversal by understanding that the brain is an adaptive being that is always changing. And if you want to change a negative belief system, if you want to change a circumstance in your life or a thought process, you can always do that by doing affirmations, meditation, even prayer, all these wonderful things that we have known. Now we can validate them through science. So a lot of people are now beginning to be aware that they don't have to be victims to their conditions. This is my biggest message to the world, is to not become a victim of your diagnosis. Do not allow it. Do not give that power. I just gave a lecture in Atlanta last Saturday, and it was a big group of people talking about the health issues during the pandemic. And what I kept saying to people is there's going to be a lot more being distributed. We have a study coming out in Nature magazine in the next week or so that is going to depict what happened during the pandemic, during the virus. How did it reprogram our body? And how now the long COVID is really not that the virus is there, it's that the body was reprogrammed to the point that the new symptoms are showing up, but the new symptoms are not going to be fixed or resolved in the same way that you did it before because your body is a different body today. So all of this is going to revolutionize the world of science. But what I'm trying to give people an understanding is that our health should be our biggest priority because we cannot trade this body in, right? If we buy a high-performance car, we don't take care of it, we can always trade it in. But our body, if we don't take care of it, what are we going to do? I can't say to you, hey, Jennifer, let's swap the bodies. Or even if I have a few billionaire friends of mine that I'm taking care of, they have all the money in the world, but they've sacrificed their health for the sake of building their empires. And now they're trying to backpedal. They're trying to figure it out. And they realize no money in the world can actually help you regain the health you lost. You can actually manage it, but it's very difficult. So I tell people, if you can just take care of yourself, make good choices every day. The choices that you make, ask yourself one question. With this nutrition, this food that I'm about to take, would it make me healthier or unhealthier than I was yesterday? And if the answer is healthier, go ahead and move forward. If the answer is unhealthier than I was yesterday, at least you'll be aware of the consequences coming your way. So you can't blame anybody else except you, because you're the only person that has the choice or the power to make that choice. During this process, I realized that I want people to understand that they need to understand about their health, just like we're doing through this show. And even though that there are trained providers out there that are differently trained, understand that even when a provider gives you their diagnosis or their opinion, I call it, because it's really an opinion based on their training, that's all it is. It's not a hearsay because you could go to multiple doctors, especially different specialties, and get different opinions. So an opinion, if you're going to get a second opinion, do not go to the same specialty. So if somebody says to you, Jennifer, you're going to have back surgery. Okay, doctor, thank you so much. I appreciate all the information you've given me, how you came to that conclusion. You take that and you take it now to a doctor of chiropractic and say, what do you think? Oh, by the way, we were trained to be able to prevent that. And we have technology called decompression, and that plus the chiropractic adjustment, we probably can prevent that surgery from ever taking place. Great. And now you go to a homeopath and they're going to say, oh, energetically, there's this amazing formulas that we have had great success with. And we're going to give you some of those and let's see how your body responds. And then you go to an acupuncturist. Oh, my wife, for over 5,000 years, we've had these meridians and these formula points that we can actually put in your body to help you recover from the symptoms that you have that may lead you to that back surgery. You see, you get all these opinions. What happens to that patient? Most of them will come to me over the years and say, I wish one of those doctors that gave me that diagnosis would have said, you know what? There's other specialties out there that may have a different approach, more holistic, more conservative. Why don't you go and see what they have to say? There's plenty of science in all of these professions I just mentioned, but unfortunately, they don't. They just give you what they know and they make you feel that's the only option you have. And some people, in fact, today, the biggest thing that I get in all of my emails and texting and messages is I feel that people are telling me I'm going to have to learn to live with that. But my innate intelligence tells me there's a solution out there for me. And I always say to them, listen to your innate and let's start finding out what specialty, what natural holistic provider could be the potential option for you that may help you get the results you want. So like during this phase of the pandemic, a lot of people were forced to do things based on an opinion that they did not agree with. And now, unfortunately, some of them are realizing that the consequences were a little higher than they thought that they were going to be. My message was always, don't blame, because there's nothing gained by blaming. Don't beat yourself up. because there's nothing gained by that. Let's take what it is right now and let's start making good choices as to what can we do to rebuild your body, to help you now move forward. And more importantly, what can we do to teach you how to live a healthy lifestyle for the rest of your life? And that's really my message to the world is begin today, regardless of what happened yesterday, begin today with better choices, and you'll see how health just comes your way like never before.
It's so true, Dr. Fab. I had a friend of mine last year who reached out and she wanted to do a Zoom call, so we hop on. And I found out in the call, Dr. Fab, she had been diagnosed with not one, two types of cancer, one of which was a stage 4 cancer. According to the doctors, I think it was Stanford that diagnosed her on this. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's who she had said. And one was a cancer she could live with, and one she was given 4 months to live. And we got into just curiosity, much like you do with your patients. I am not a doctor. Please do check with your medical professionals. There are wonderful people out there like Dr. Fab and many others. Though out of curiosity and deep care for my friend, we got into the inquiry of where might this actually be coming from? To your point, what could this really be related to? And we got to the bottom of the fact that she didn't feel like she deserved love. And same thing, we took her through this simple exercise, which it's not a medical exercise. It's just one to, technically, it does help you to rewire your brain. So we take her through it just as a friend trying to help her. And I don't hear from her for a couple of months, Dr. Fab. And I'm like, oh gosh. And I reach out, are you okay? I haven't heard from you. I don't know if she's passed on. I get the best email I've ever gotten in my life back. She says, Jennifer, I just got back from, we won't call Stanford, whatever the medical clinic is.
Yeah.
And they said, oops, we misdiagnosed you with this stage 4 cancer. There is zero trace of it. There is nothing. That she's still alive. She's doing well. She just posted something the other day about how she's flourishing. So to Dr. Fab's point, just because one doctor says you're given days to live and another doctor says you're fine, you're going to live forever, it's our own consciousness that's interplaying with all of this. And to Dr. Fab's point, it all does tie in of how much self-care are we willing to give? We give so much and we think, oh, I'm a good person if I give to my children and my colleagues and so forth. But if you keep giving and you're giving from a cup that's now empty, you're now giving from reserves and you have nothing else to give. And to Dr. Fab's point, we need to honor ourselves first. We're only given one physical body in this lifetime. It's our job to nurture it, to support it with what it needs, with healthy foods. And I do want to touch on that before we wrap today, Dr. Fab. I know it can be perplexing and confounding for so many people to even begin to understand, myself included, what does healthy eating look like? In the 90s, it was like no sugar, no fat. Now it's the straight carnivore diet. Help!
It's so amazing because I was talking to a medical doctor, a friend of mine, also very holistic, and he was sharing with me about the carnivore diet, and I've been hearing about that lately, and I'm like, oh my God, here's another one. So let me tell you what I found in the science. So the New England Journal of Medicine published a paper that was really, in my opinion, one of the best papers they've done about intermittent fasting. And to me, it should begin with that process. Regardless of your diet, it should begin by understanding that your body was never made to be snacking throughout 24 hours. Your body was never, especially high refined carbohydrates or processed foods or things that have very little nutrients, but they fill your body up. Your body was designed to actually fast. And you look at the literature and you realize that fasting is one of the best things that we can do for our health. So initially, intermittent fasting simply says that if you just eat within a 6 to 8 hour period and then fast the rest of the time, you have a better chance to actually be healthy, lose weight, feel regenerative, meaning anti-aging, all of the things that everybody's looking for. So I began that process and I began to do a lot of research in that and trying to understand and experimented with my own self to the point now that now I have typically a meal, one meal a day within a 2 hour period, and I can fast for 22 hours. And I have found that to be one of the best things for people to do. So usually when I have a patient coming in, regardless of what they're eating, I always say, let's start initially by simply managing when we eat. That's the only thing I'm asking them to do. And I usually start them at 8 hours, even though we find very quickly that people can turn that 8 into 6. Sometimes that's 6 into 4, which means that you can have 2 meals a day within that 4, or you can have 2 meals a day within the 6 hours. I begin there. The second one is I take them through a very simple process that what the science have told us is primarily sugar is our biggest challenge because sugar is more addictive than some of the drugs that we hear about in the streets. So we know that the brain activates like nothing else when you put sugar in the body. So it actually creates an emotional and a physiological dependency to that sugar. So whenever, like right now for me, sodas, people just love to drink their sodas and it's all sugar, over 24 teaspoons of sugar or tablespoons of sugar. You have all these caramels, you have all these fructose, all of these things that are not healthy at all, but people become addicted to it. The rise in consumption of sodas over the years have been crazy to look at. The other one is desserts. Even though I'm saying, don't ever have a dessert, I'm just saying, maybe switch some of the desserts with some fruit. Maybe a low sugar fruit like berries. I love berries because they're low sugar, but they give you that kick away of having that craving. So I start with reducing the sugar in your body. Then I go into the breads, right? Because that's the other component where people have found a tremendous weight gain and unhealthiness, is that most of the bread is out there, is very filling, and it tastes delicious. My father had a company that we did white flour, we did bread and pasta. So we were used to having fresh bread and fresh pasta every day. So we all love bread, but we realized that bread doesn't have a lot of nutrients. So you have to reduce all your breads. So that's pretty much where I start. If they can just reduce the sugar and the breads or the processed foods as much as possible and replace them with organic vegetables to the point that 50% of your plate should be organic vegetables. If you do that, you are at least moving in the right direction. I'm not asking people to give up everything they love. I'm just saying, let's start with the things that really make a difference in the body. And then because the sugar also is associated with a lot of inflammation, and inflammation is the foundation for almost every chronic illness that we have in the world, from heart disease to cancer, arthritis, obesity, or diabetes, you may name it. Inflammation is the key, even cognitive decline. I had one of my dear friends, Dr. Daniel Allen, came to visit me recently to celebrate his new book. And I said, what is the issue with the brain? When you boil it all down, he said, we just have to reduce the inflammation in the brain. That's what's causing a lot of the Alzheimer's and dementia, cognitive decline, lack of focus, and we need to focus on that. So I believe that if we start by when we eat and we reduce some of the culprits that we know are really causing most of our dietary problems, I said that's a good beginning. And then, of course, to me personally, there's many testing out there, from genetic testing to other testing, that can guide you as to what is the best diet for you. When I've done all of those testing, to me, the Mediterranean diet, it seems to be always the one that is best for me. That if I'm going to do any oils, it would only be olive oil, virgin oil. If I'm going to do, and then of course, the salad itself, the tomatoes and those vegetables are the ones that my body craves the most. So I try to stick to that as much as I can when I do eat it during my window of eating.
I love this, Dr. Fab. It's great advice. One of my friends, who's one of the top cardiologists in the world I had met, he actually said the same thing, 1 meal a day. And granted, don't be afraid. I know that sounds like a lot. Start off, like for me, it depends on what part of the world you're in. If you know you have evening meetings, and some people keep it in the evenings. For me, I have back-to-back meetings normally on Zoom. So I stop eating often by 2 or 3 o'clock just because I'm on 7 hours of meetings in the evening. And I'd rather get my calories in so that way I have the energy to get through the 7 hours of meetings. And I think it's so brilliant, Dr. Fab. I used to sit on the board of a charity that helped kids in inner city school areas with healthy eating. And so many people aren't aware of the atrocities that sugar causes in our bodies. And be compassionate with yourself. That's my only other piece of feedback, it's easy to beat yourself up of if you have a piece of cake or a candy bar or soda, allow yourself that. Cherish it. I remember Deepak and I were on the phone one day and I was in Italy having a beautiful meal out in Tuscany and I'm just about to eat some tiramisu and Deepak calls and I said, Deepak, out of curiosity, if I were to tell my body that this tiramisu was a carrot, would my body interpret it as a carrot? And Deepak starts laughing. He says, of course, Jennifer, we've been studying that for years. So my only other caveat is I'm not a doctor. I listen to Dr. Fab and much smarter people than me. Though if you are going to eat a chocolate or once a month have a soda or dessert or whatever it is, tell your body you love it. Cherish it. Don't beat yourself up over it. Just like really just enjoy the heck out of it. And Dr. Fab, you've been a wealth of information, really thoroughly enjoyed all the deep, profound wisdom about the consciousness of our being spiritual, emotional beings, as well as physical beings. Where can people connect with you if they'd like more information?
They can go to my website, drfabmancini.com, drfabmancini.com. And also I'll send you a link. Also, I have a vault of resources that I usually offer to my members. And I'm more than happy to offer it to yours at no charge. So that way it's an abundance of exclusive interviews with some of the most influential people in the world talking about not only their health, but their mindset of success, but also books and audios and meditations, you name it. It's all in there for people to really enjoy the resources that they're looking for instead of trying to find things all over the internet. But my main thing is, realize that you're worthy of making good choices. I know many times our self-worth limits us from making a good choice because we're not feeling good about ourselves. So we want to sabotage that. We want to hurt ourselves in the process. And what I'm here to tell you is that your body was designed to be healthy. Your body was designed to live long and healthy, not after 40, everything starts going down. I'm here to tell you, now the science, and we have proven it in multiple places, where if you choose right, you can live a long life. You can see your great-grandchildren and enjoy them to no end. But all boils down, Kimberly, in my opinion, Jennifer, it boils down to my self-worth, knowing that I'm worthy of being healthy. And I want people to tell themselves every single day, I'm worthy of being healthy. I'm worthy of being healthy. And that will lead you to hopefully make better decisions in your day.
Thank you so much. Dr. Fab Mancini has been here with us on Regarding Consciousness, sharing deep wisdom around health and well-being and vitality. And as Dr. Fab so beautifully just put it, you have the right. You deserve it. You deserve to be your most healthy, vital self. You look yourself in the mirror every day. Tell yourself, I love you. I am healthy, whole, and complete. You are healthy, whole, and complete. And trust it as you say it. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Wishing you continued health, happiness, wholeness, and the desire and knowing that you are perfect just the way you are. Find the perfection in yourself and others. Thank you for being here.